members in Southeast Alaska from Ketchikan to Yakutat. We definitely support House Bill 411, and habitat acquisition is the most appropriate use of the settlement funds. 3 years ago today, black smothering oil gushed from the tanker of Exxon Valdez into the pristine alive waters of Prince William Sound, leaving thousands of lifeless, oil-soaked bodies of birds and sea otters. Today we're dealing with how to spend the criminal penalty money that Exxon paid for their tragic environmental crime. There seems to be very little we can do to restore the impacted areas, the oiled areas, to their original condition. The damage has been done, but we can learn from this humanly created disaster and prevent further damage from occurring. That's why we support buying timber rights and maintaining habitat that's threatened from clear-cutting and other industrial developments. Logging and related activities compound the impacts of the oil spill and threaten areas available for replacement of impacted resources. Clear-cut logging and road building create soil erosion, muddying streams, and suffocating life in the streams and on the ocean floor near the mouths of streams. These are habitats that support salmon, shellfish, and marine mammals. Protecting forest habitat is essential near the salmon streams because the trees maintain a moderate in-stream temperature and prevent silt from eroding stream banks and suffocating the salmon eggs. People in the communities impacted by the spill will also benefit from habitat acquisition. There are many jobs tied to intact forest and coastal habitat, including commercial fishing, hunting and fishing guiding, recreation and tourism. There may be a short-term loss of logging jobs, but the long-term gain in jobs in future generations is much greater. The part of House Bill 411 that SEAC is particularly supports is Section 5, which appropriates $9 million for the purchase of timber rights at Cape Suckling. The University of Alaska owns the timber rights, and the land is state-owned. Cape Suckling is just east of Cordova. It's adjacent to the Yakutat Estate Game Refuge, and I believe in your packets you have a map. It's a large sheet that looks like this, and it shows the Yakutat Estate Game Refuge and Cape Suckling just adjacent to it. When the Yakutat Game Refuge passed in 1990, legislators recognized the valuable habitat of Cape Suckling and directed DNR to repurchase the timber rights from the university. This repurchase remains unachieved, however, because of a stalemate between the university and DNR. Now money appropriated from House Bill 411 to repurchase the timber rights at Cape Suckling can fulfill a legislative goal and preserve one of the most valuable habitat areas in the state. Appropriating money to Cape Suckling serves multiple purposes. First, it replaces resources that were damaged by the oil spill. Impacts to Prince William Sound and other regions increase our reliance on potential replacement habitats, such as Cape Suckling. Cordovans have a history of using Cape Suckling for commercial fishing, guiding, tourism, and it's a very economically important area to them. Second, critical fisheries will be safeguarded. The Suckling Hills is laced with several anadromous salmon streams. If you found your map, you can see the all the red highlighted areas are salmon streams that are in the Suckling Hills in the area. It's some of the best coho habitat on the Pacific coast. The Kikkeluk River is commercially fished by Prince William Sound and Yakutat gillnet fishermen. There are 30 set gillnet fishermen holding permits for Ishami in Prince William Sound that can also fish in the Cape Suckling area. Both the Kikkeluk and Seal Rivers host intensive commercial set net fisheries, and the Oakley and Tashluk Rivers are other important salmon streams. It's not only the rich salmon resources is not only important to commercial fishermen, but also to sport and subsistence users. And we've even discovered recently that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, in a study they've done, has discovered that over 1,000 bald eagles from the western part of Prince William Sound, the most heavily oiled area, are going to Cape Suckling in the fall and winter. And they eat the late coho runs in the fall and winter. So preserving this food source at Cape Suckling is directly related to the restoration of bald eagles that were damaged in Prince William Sound by the oil spill. Third, a thriving wildlife habitat will be protected. Mountain goats live in the Suckling Hills of Boone and Crockett record size. Adjacent areas once held Alaska's largest goat population, but in the last 10 years, the population has declined by 75%, in part due to logging. Exceptional populations of brown bear, black bear, and moose are found in the Cape Suckling area. A guide from Cordova told me he saw 40 bears in a strawberry patch there. The bird life in the region is astounding. The nearby eastern Copper River Delta nesting and migration areas are world famous. A fourth purpose served by appropriating money to Cape Suckling is investing in the University of Alaska. The University of Alaska supports House Bill 411, and the money allocated to purchase the timber rights will go into a trust fund available for educating Alaskans. So we encourage you to support House Bill 411 and with the inclusion of Cape Suckling. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony.
Mr. Chairman, just one question.
Representative Boyer.
Thank you. Just one question. So the legal issues or the legal suits that you mentioned, those become moot as a result of the purchase, or are they process-directed, and will they continue?
Chairman Navarro, Representative Boyer, which specifically issues? The transfer of the rights?
You mentioned with regard to the university transfer piece, I think we talked about it earlier today.
Right.
I wasn't sure whether or not they were just process oriented with respect to DNR's process and would be pursued in any event or as a result of this bill, are they?
It's my understanding that the lawsuit has not been settled yet. For the rest of you, there was some disagreement that DNR transferred the timber rights to the university in an appropriate manner. They didn't go through the proper planning process in develop an area plan, so that was brought in a court action against them. It is being still dealt with, and the legislature has required DNR to go through an area plan, and they're doing that right now. It will be finished by 93.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Phillips. The oil spill actually hit the shores in this area here.
You know, that's a real interesting question.
Yes, I got a map here that shows them.
Yeah, it's not in the general direction of where you've usually seen the oil going. But a guide out of Cordova just told me that he collected a sample, a very large tar ball, off Cape St. Elias, which is at the end of Kayak Island, about 10 miles from Cape Suckling, and he just submitted it to the Department of Environmental Conservation for analysis. So it's a little bit up in the air. But the main reason that Cape Suckling is important here is that it's equivalent resources. And under the restoration definition, you can purchase equivalent resources. So if people out of Cordova don't want to take people fishing because the beaches are oiled, they have an equivalent resource. They have Cape Suckling too.
Thank you. Kristen Stahl Johnson.
Chairman and representatives of the committee. My name is Kristen Stahl Johnson. I have a master's in fisheries biology, and I've worked in Alaskan waters and Alaskan resources for 15 years. I am a 12-year resident of Kodiak Island, and I'm married to Kodiak fisherman. I'm also a member of the Kodiak Environmental Network, and I'm here in Juneau as a volunteer for the Alaska Environmental Lobby. I was pregnant with my third child when the Exxon Valdez hit the rocks, and I've been actively involved during the spill and the cleanup and the reparation process in Kodiak and around the state ever since. House Bill 411 goes a long way toward helping restore the people's confidence in the government by not only acknowledging the damages that the people incurred, but also by being responsive to the people's desires to heal from this disaster. As Representative Davidson has pointed out, this is appropriation by the people. Habitat acquisition is not only responsive to the people, it is responsive to the intent of the criminal settlement, as outlined by the court, and is also responsible planning for the future health of our fisheries, our wildlife resources, and our coastal communities. Equitable distribution of the restoration funds across the area is achieved by this bill, and please, I would urge you to maintain that distribution and listen to the voice of the people in the spill-affected areas of what their desires are here. Let's see. The Exxon criminal fine, please resist the real and present temptation, as a term used earlier, to use the Exxon criminal fines for other worthy programs which do not reflect direct reparations to the spill damage and are not directly intended for the use of these monies. Please support the committee substitute for House Bill 411, and specifically the Afognak joint venture land acquisitions, which reflect, and several other there are other parts of this substitute that identify critical habitat areas in Kodiak Island, which would directly be responsive to the habitat needs of our fisheries and in the impacted zone. Thank you very much.
Paul Johnson. Ken Kessner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Ken Kastner. I'm a commercial fisherman from Homer, and I have a seine permit for Lower Cook Inlet. I supplied you with the copies of these maps. The first map is the one of the oiled areas, and the second one is a portion that we're supporting the development rights to be acquired. As the oil moved out of Prince William Sound, it moved pretty much parallel to the coast, and the prevailing winds and currents kept the oil offshore. That all changed when it got to about Gore Point, where the topography funnels a lot of air straight up into Cook Inlet, and it brought all the oil ashore. There was a heavy impact at Gore Point, heavy impact into Port Dick, which is within the Wilderness Park, Kachemak Bay Wilderness Park, and very heavy impact into Rocky and Windy Bays. Our fishing area starts just east of Seward and extends all the way down that coast and clear over into Kamishak Bay on the west side. Fishing was closed over there also in 1989. This is a small piece of a bigger plan. This is direct restoration to the resource. The last big hit that the Outer Coast took was in 1964 when the earthquake caused a lot of subsidence to anadromous streams out there. These streams used to provide fisheries in the millions of fish. Ironically, in 1988 in Port Dick, we had the best return ever since the earthquake. We had early chum salmon returns and good fishing returns all summer long. Unfortunately, those returns emerged into the oil of 1989, and the scientific results of that emergence have not been disclosed to me. This land is owned by Port Graham Native Association. It's been completely logged off. Notice on your maps, you see all the little logging roads on it. The money to do the enhancement work will come from another source. We felt like that this pool of money would just serve to do the land or the development right acquisitions, and we'll find other sources to fulfill the restoration for the area. I'd sure be happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Questions?
Thank you.
Kastner, thank you. Is there anyone else who wanted to testify on this bill today? If not, we'll pull the bill over in committee until tomorrow. It'll be the second bill up after 380.